Good morning. I want to welcome you to Faith Covenant Church. My name is Nate, and I'm the pastor here. And I just want to invite you to take out the tan cards that you received in your bulletin. And if you're a member with us, just write your name on there. If you have a prayer request, let us know how we can be praying for you. If you're visiting us this morning, if you're a family member visiting for our program, or you're just stopping in, leave us your email. We'd love to follow up with you and let you know how we can connect with you further. And a few announcements this morning. Most of you should have received also a little invitation. That's an invitation to our Christmas Eve services. So next week is Christmas Eve, which is really exciting. And we have three services. We have our usual 9:30 a.m. worship service. And then we also have two special Christmas Eve services. Our 5 p.m. service, which is a little more family-friendly. It's a little shorter, but all ages are welcome. We sing carols and hear some scriptures. And then at 10 p.m. we have our traditional lessons and carols. And all ages are welcome to both services. So invite a friend, invite a neighbor, and we'd love to see you next week. A couple other things coming up. We have our Kids Club Christmas party this Wednesday. So parents and kids, we invite you to come out to that. It's also going to be our last Wednesday night prayer for the year. So if you haven't joined yet or if you've been kind of hit or miss, we'd love to invite you back and just pray one more time together as a church body. I also want to let you know something that came up this week. It's an opportunity potentially for giving and for witnessing to somebody with the gospel. I received a phone call at my church phone in the office, and there was a woman who was frantically speaking on the line. Not frantically, but you could tell she was distressed. And she said, can you give me a call back? I need some help. So I called this woman back, and she explained to me that her son is severely autistic, and she's a single mom. She's recently divorced, and she sends her son to this camp. It's Giant Steps is what it's called, and it's kind of a place where parents can send their autistic children for help. And he is severely impacted, so he needs one-to-one care, and so it's very expensive. It's $165 a day. And she has 3 days covered. She has 3 days covered, but she needs 8 days total. So she needs 5 more days. And so I've spoken with the social worker from Giant Steps, and so kind of explaining her situation. And so she really just needs kind of a 5-day respite to hold her over. So I would love for our church to be her Christmas miracle, and to provide those 5 days. Again, 1 day is $165. If you want to do half a day, if you want to do a day. Please see me at the end of the service or at some point if you want to be a part of that. I would love to provide those 5 days and invite her to our services. So if you'd like to be part of that opportunity, please let me know. And before we get into our worship service, one of our members, Marlon Miles, is going to be moving. And he is actually moving right after this worship service. He's going straight to the airport right after church. And he's moving to Florida. Marlon, come on up here. And if you don't know yet, Marlon is amazing. And he's also the nephew of Rita Christensen. And he joined our church this summer, but circumstances have so led him to find a job opportunity in Florida. But Marlon, he's really jumped right in here. He became part of the trustees. He's cleaned the gutters of my home a couple times and done a number of things. So we really appreciate Marlon. I just want to invite anybody who'd like to come pray for Marlon to come on up right now. Make your way quickly. We'll lay hands, and we want to pray for him before he goes. Those of you who are seated, if you want to extend your hand, we'll pray for Marlon. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your divine providence you sent Marlon Miles to us. God, we thank you even for this brief season, Lord, where we got to know him, that he got to be a part of this church family and a part of this community. And Lord, it's with sadness that we send him out, trusting that you will provide him a new place of worship, a new body of Christ. Lord, we ask that you would provide that. God, we ask that you would give him traveling mercies, that you would protect him, that you would keep him safe. And Lord, that your spirit would be so present with him that he would be aware of it and that he would know that you were with him every step of the way. So God, continue to work in his life, continue to grow his relationship with you surround him with new friends and with new opportunities. And we pray that this new job would work out well. Lord, we ask that you would provide all his needs in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
One last thing before our program begins today. I'd like to invite all the staff who are here this morning, if you could come to the front, please. We have a gift that we would like to present to you. So staff, Barb, Nancy, if you can come, that'd be great. If you can't, you can sit, that's fine. But Jean, please come on up. Join me up here in the front. Friends, church work and ministry are demanding. They're a vocation, a calling. We here at Faith are exceptionally blessed and fortunate to have a staff who labor diligently, faithfully, week after week, in service to our Lord and in service to each one of us. We all know that ministry can often be a thankless job, endless tasks, long hours, high expectations, and sometimes differing opinions from congregation members about what ought to be done. It can be challenging to navigate all of this as they seek to lead us all into deeper relationship with our Lord. It's our hope and prayer that each of you know how much we value and appreciate you and your influence here among us. As a church, we want to recognize each of you at Christmas and celebrate your gifts to us by giving these monetary gifts. And we ask from the bottom of our hearts that you receive these with our thanks. Thank you. Let's thank them.
I'll now invite everyone to stand as we begin our worship service together.
We are told that the first thing the shepherds did after seeing Jesus was to joyfully proclaim the amazing things they had seen. Let it be our prayer that we might also joyfully tell the world the amazing things we have seen and experienced.
Aside his glory for the sake of mankind. In Revelation 5, we read, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be the praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.
But this glory is so great, and Jesus is so powerful, that even in his humility, glory followed him from heaven. Angel voices still proclaimed and worshiped him. We sing with them in their song.
Oh, Amen. You may be seated.
For the past 3 weeks, we have been in the season of Advent. Many of us have grown up in the church, and so we view this as a normal part of our year. But Advent is anything but normal. Advent is the beginning of the church calendar year, and it begins four Sundays before Christmas. Advent means coming, but people also call it a time of waiting. We are remembering a long time ago when the ancient Israelites were waiting for the Messiah. For us today, it is also a time where we wait for Jesus' return. Today we will tell you about the symbols of Advent that we use every year. The first symbol is the color we use to decorate. On our table, you can see these special fabrics called parements. Parament is a fancy word to describe the hangings and fabric used in a church. They change depending on the season of the church year. In Advent, they are purple. Purple is a royal color, representing Jesus our King. But it is also a reflective and somber color. In Advent, Christ hasn't come yet, and so we wait in somberness for him to arrive.
The next symbol we have on our altar is the Advent wreath. Wreaths have become a symbol of Christmas, and you see them every year in church, on people's doors, and even in stores. But wreaths have a long history and deep meaning. The first wreath was made by a German pastor in the 1800s. He wanted to find a way of showing the passing of time to his students at his church. So he got a large wagon wheel and placed candles all around it. There were 24 small red candles and 4 large white candles. He put them around the wreath with 6 red candles, then 1 white candle. Every day he would light a new candle. The circle was complete on Christmas Eve. Nowadays, that many candles would be considered a fire hazard. So we only have 4 candles for each Sunday and 1 in the middle. The wreath is, of course, a circle, which represents the eternal nature of God. A circle has no beginning or end, just like him. It is made of evergreen branches, which represent God's love for us. While normal leaves would wither, these evergreen branches will never die, just like God will never stop loving us.
The first Lent candle we lit 2 weeks ago is called the Hope Candle. In the Old Testament, God's people needed a lot of hope. They had been slaves in Egypt. They had wandered in the desert for 40 years. They had been invaded and taken away. They had lived a hard life, but they had been promised by God that he would send them a Messiah who would take away all of their burdens and give them comfort. The candle of hope reminds us of the longing of God's people for the one who would come and set them free. It reminds us that our hope is in God who promises a Savior to redeem the world. We thank God for this hope, the hope of the Messiah, Jesus, the one who redeems the world.
Our second candle is the peace candle. It reminds us that Jesus has come to be our peace. The prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. The New Testament says that Jesus brings us peace that passes all understanding. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself called his people to be peacemakers, and he told the disciples that the Spirit of Peace would come to be our comforter. And so this candle of peace reminds us of the Prince of Peace who comes to rule in our hearts, guide our words, and reign among us.
The next candle, and the one we will light in a few minutes, is the joy candle. While all the other candles have been purple, this one is different. It is pink. And that is because even though in the somberness of Advent, we are reminded that there is joy coming. In the dark purple of Advent, the pink candle shines to celebrate that joy. There are a lot of things that trouble us in the world today. We pray for hope and peace, but we know that we can pray in joy, knowing that God is coming and that He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. God gives us hope, God gives us peace, and God gives us joy.
The last purple candle is the love candle. John tells us that God is love, and that Jesus is the best representation of love. Like John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Paul tells us that without love, we are nothing. We are like a loud noise or a clanging cymbal instead of a beautiful song. Next week, we will light the love candle to remind us that God is all the love that we need. He gives us hope, peace, joy, and he will also give us the love that redeems us and shows us the way.
The last candle of the Advent wreath goes right in the middle. It isn't purple anymore or even a joyful pink. No, this candle is white because we don't need to wait in mourning anymore. This candle reminds us that Jesus was born to save us. Our King isn't coming. He is here. We put this candle in the center because Jesus is the center of our lives. He is the center of the season of Advent, and he is the center of our lives. We won't light this candle until Christmas, so we need to wait. We need to wait. We're waiting like the Israelites waited. We're waiting for the one who unites the world in hope, in peace, in joy, and in love. We are waiting for Jesus.
But today's the day you focus on a joy candle. As we invite our candle lighters to come up, hear these words from Isaiah. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim his name that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Let us pray. Holy God of joy, we rejoice in the reality of who you are. We live within the joy of your love for us. Our contentment comes and goes. Our happiness ebbs and flows. Our feelings depend on our circumstances, our physical health, and our brain chemistry. But our joy is deeply rooted in our identity as your beloved children, and we give you thanks. Amen.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great news that will cause great joy for all the people.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, kids. That was wonderful. Our bells over here, they're going to introduce us to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. They're going to go through the first verse one time, and then we will all join them together after their part, okay? Then, so it's going to be 157 in your hymnal, and once it comes to our part, we'll all stand and sing, okay? So we'll let them do their part first, and then we'll join them.
Scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of the government and peace that will be to no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of God.
For our offertory this morning, we kind of have something unique happening. So many of you are aware that we have a kids club that meets on Wednesday nights. And one of the things that they do is, you know, throughout the year, they try to do several things to reach out and to serve other people. And the Kids Club contains many kids from outside our church community who don't attend here on Sunday mornings. And so one of their service projects was they wanted to make Christmas ornaments for our Christmas program today. So these ornaments that you see up here were made by a majority of kids who don't even attend our church. But they wanted to serve us with a concrete, with a tangible expression of God's love for us. So as the offertory comes, I invite any kids in our church to come forward and place the ornaments upon the tree as we have our offering this morning. So invite the ushers forward and we will begin.
Thank you. Please stand. Let's join me in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that today we can join together and celebrate your birth, the coming of your Savior, the Lamb of God, our salvation. Today a Savior is born in David's town. What a gift that we can celebrate that. Lord, we thank you for a day when we can be more conscious of the children among us and the youth and the role they play in our congregation. We pray for them that they would be nurtured here and grow physically and mentally, emotionally and spiritually, that they would become aware of your love and your salvation, and that we all would be a part of molding each other and molding the youth among us, and being examples that they could see what your love in our lives means. Lord, in this time of celebration, we want to remember those among us for whom this time is difficult to celebrate, whether it's due to mourning, loss of loved ones, financial troubles, health issues, troubled relationships. Lord, we pray for your comfort, your grace, for healing. Lord, may we all and those who are especially in need of it be aware of your presence and your love and your comfort. And help us all to be aware of those around us and to be your presence to them and show your love in tangible ways even in this season. Lord, thank you for Marlon's time among us, and we pray for him as he heads down to Florida that you would bless him and give him another good church community to be part of and relationships that would encourage him there. Lord, thank you for the offering we could bring. Your gift is so overwhelming, and we respond with what we have that you have given us, that it would be used for you and your kingdom. Thank you for your great gift that we can gather together and celebrate today a Savior is born in David's town. Amen.
So today we, in a special way, we're continuing our sermon series on the characters of Christmas. We started with looking at Joseph. Last week we looked at Mary, and today we've been talking about the angels. But to start, to back up, I want to talk about theologians. Who knows what a theologian is? Kurt, his hand is right up there. Perfect. A theologian is someone who's what we would consider who studies, or maybe academically or even professionally studies God. So it can refer to that. It can also just refer to anybody who studies God. That's what theology means, the study of God. And so in some respects, every Christian is a theologian. But over time, the church has recognized that there have been certain people who have dedicated their lives to thinking clearly into reading the scriptures, into searching them out and helping the church to think well and to think rightly. And so the church has always needed good theologians, people who take the time to do this. They help us describe God. They help us understand him as accurately as we can. And theologians, they help us, they keep us from false teaching or from being deceived or from misguided thinking. And over the church life, they've kept us from outright heresy. But theologians, most importantly, they help us worship. Because the more we understand God, the more that we will want to worship him. All theology leads to doxology, the praise and worship of our Lord. And so the church has benefited from people who have done this over the years. We think about some of the early church fathers, such as Irenaeus or Polycarp or Augustine or Jerome. We think of the reformers, such as Luther and Calvin, and then others like John Wesley and Karl Barth and Dorothy Day and Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr. All of these and more have helped us understand a little bit more about our God. And so we need people like this. We need people like Kurt Jaros and Marcy Watson, who dedicate their time to learning and studying theology and all these things. We need Christians doing this. We need Christians in the academy studying about God. But even with all of these great theologians and all the things that they've done for the church, believe it or not, theologians can be wrong. They can be wrong. We are all finite human beings with limited understanding. And sometimes even these prominent theologians whom I've named already, they have been incorrect or they've been incomplete in their thinking. And believe it or not, not everyone agrees with what theologians say or have said. And theologians, they're only correct to the degree that they conform to the truth and to the teachings of the scriptures. And thankfully, when it comes to the most important doctrines, when it comes to the most important things we believe about God and about reality and about the world, God has not just left it up to us. He has not just left it up to theologians to find their way and think their way to the truth. You see, as Christians, we believe that God has revealed himself, that we don't just have to think it up or make it up, but he has shown us, he has told us who he is. And so he has done this in many ways. You know, we believe he's spoken through the prophets. We believe he's revealed himself in creation. And ultimately, he has given us the fullest expression by coming as Jesus Christ in the flesh. And even when Jesus came as a baby, he didn't leave it, again, for us to figure it out all by ourselves. He sent messengers. He sent angels. Messengers from heaven who could interpret for us what was going on, who could tell us who this child was and who this child was going to be. You see, angels are God's best theologians because what they will tell us will be the truth. They are heavenly messengers sent from God himself to explain who Jesus Christ is. So we're going to have a longer children's message today, and this is going to be my brief reflection. So as you listen today, may you understand that these angels, that this message isn't just some mere human concoction or just something that someone has thought up. No, this is God choosing to enter into human life, to enter into the story, to enter into our world and tell us who he is so that we don't have to be left in the dark, that we can know the truth, that we can know that our God loves us, that he has come to us as our Savior and Lord. And when you hear their message, may you know that you are receiving words that are more accurate and more precise than any theologian could conjure up. You're receiving a message straight from God himself. Amen. Forgot to say, we're going to sing Away in the Manger as the children come forward. Please sing.
Scooch just a little bit that way because I brought such a big bag today. And big bags mean lots of space. Oh, that's a little bit further. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right, boys and girls. Good morning. I've been thinking about this moment for a long, long time and what I could talk to you about. And angels are kind of a funny thing to talk about because I've never... Could you sit down, sweetheart? Right here. No, sit right here. Thank you. Right here. Angels are such a fun thing to talk about, and we've been having such a great morning. But I think about Christmas, and I think about... This is my nativity set. Do you guys have nativity sets at your house? You do? Oh, good. I'm so glad. So you're familiar with this. Who's in here? Do you know that the grown-ups have been kind of talking about this picture for the last few weeks? The first week, we talked about Joseph. Here he is. There's Joseph. And then last week, Pastor Nate talked to us about Mary. There she is. And I'm sure we'll talk about baby Jesus coming up here. And then, you know what we're going to talk about today? I want to talk about what's going on over here in this part of the picture. Who's over here, guys? The angels. And who else?
Shepherds.
The shepherds. Do you know what? There are actually a lot of angels in the Christmas story. There are lots, and they come in and they give special messages to special people. But today I specifically want... Oh, no. I specifically want to talk about what is going on right over here. Can we talk about this for a few minutes today? Can you guys scooch back just so everyone can see? Okay. So we've talked about what happened over here in the stable, and today we're going to talk about what was going on right here. Are you ready? These angels are so, so important. Oh, no. Okay. These angels right here. They are so, so important. And not just because they were praising God and singing and giving big news, but because they actually explained why it was so great that Jesus had been born. Because we didn't really know. We didn't know what was going on. And they said three very special things. About Jesus, and it's really important that we think about those things, and so I want to talk to you about them today. Would that be okay? Can we talk about the three things? So the angel comes, and he says, "For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Whew, that's a really big title, and sometimes we smush that all together. We say, "Savior Christ the Lord," but those are actually three really special, important things that they're talking about. So I need some help with you guys today, because I need to think about these words in a different way. So the first thing they say is Savior. What does Savior mean?
Jesus.
Yeah, you know what?
Someone who saves us.
Someone who saves us. Jesus was here to save us. He's like our rescuer. Judah, could you stand up? He's our rescuer.
He's a superhero.
Yeah, stand right back. Jesus is our rescuer. And I was thinking to myself, okay, what do I think about when I think about being rescued? And I think about like a lifesaver, like life jackets. Do you know that Jesus came to save us, to protect us? Here we were, and he came to save not only his people, but the whole world. We're broken and we're full of sin and we have ugliness in our hearts and we think bad things and we say bad things. And boys and girls, we can never get back into a relationship with God by ourselves. So that's why Jesus had to come. He saves us. He puts us back into relationship with Jesus because we can't do that on our own. Boys and girls, Jesus is our rescuer. Our rescuer. Can you say rescuer?
Rescuer.
He is our lifesaver, our rescuer. Thanks, Judah. You want to help me with the next one? Yeah, okay. So, the next word he says is he's Christ. Do you know who Christ is? What that means? It means he's anointed. Do you know what anointed means?
No.
Well, it's kind of like they're set apart. And in that time, do you know who was set apart? Kings. Kings. Will you hold this up for me? All right. You know what, boys and girls? I need you to step back. Could you step back? Can you step back, please? No. You know what? Thank you. Thank you. All right. It's hard to listen sometimes. Even grown-ups have a hard time sometimes. No. Do you know that Jesus is a king? That's why I brought a crown, so we could think about that today. So not only is Jesus our lifesaver, he is our king. And we need a king. And the Jewish people needed a king. They were waiting for a king. But even today, we need a king. This message is so much bigger than just what was happening at that time. You know what? We need a king because we need someone to unite us, to lead us. We need an example, someone to follow. He came to be a good and fair and kind ruler, an ultimate leader, the biggest authority. God is in control even when things feel out of control. He is our king. Can you guys say king? Okay, cool. I'd like you to go and sit over there, please. Thank you. All right, here's my last one. What was the last part that the angel said? He said Jesus was the Lord. Whoa. Do you know that's a really special word? The word that they used for Lord was actually a special name for God himself. It means God. And you know what I brought? I brought the Bible, the word. This little baby, Jesus, had come to, oh my goodness, boys and girls, we have so many wiggles today. I love your enthusiasm. I love it. All right. This is so great. I'm so glad you like this. All right. Okay. Wow. God. Perfect. Give it back. All right. Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. I'm going to stand up. Does that work better?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stand up. Do you know what, guys? It's really important that we know something. Oh, my. I'm sorry. Do you know what? I don't mean.
Can you put that in?
I love you. Thank you. Sit down. This is so fun. All right. You guys are so sweet. Can we all sit back for a second? No. All right.
I'm taking the seat.
Okay. Scott, could you come and sit, please? Heather, could you come sit? Thank you. I need you guys to sit back.
Hey.
I know it's exciting. Thank you. This is going just how I imagined it. Like, you don't even know. When I thought about this in my head, I was hoping that this is how it would go. Okay. Sit right here. Okay. Oh, God comes and saves us when things feel out of control. God comes as God and this baby Jesus to be our God so that we can be saved, so we can know him, so we can follow him. Can you believe it? Can you believe that God would come as a baby to die for us so that we could all be with him forever? What a plan. What a God. And God's people had been waiting for something really big, and they didn't know when it was going to happen, and they didn't know how it was going to happen, and they didn't know how this would look. And so these angels come, and they tell us that this plan has begun. And we start here in the stable, and then we end there at the cross. This is the beginning of this whole thing. No wonder the angels were singing and praising and saying glory to God in the highest. Guys, our lifesaver had come. Our king had come. God himself was here. So I want all of us to close our eyes, and I want us to imagine that we were shepherds. And it's quiet, and it's dark, and the sheep are grazing. Can you imagine? Listen.
Thank you. Wow. That's kind of a little way of imagining what it might have sounded like that night. It's really kind of incredible. So I thought maybe we should honor Jesus by learning the best verse of all that tells us about the best gift of all. Can we learn that verse together? Congregation, will you learn this verse with us, please? Okay. Ready? Okay. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. We do it together? For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. Again, for unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. Good job. Boys and girls, Jesus was coming. He had arrived. He is our lifesaver, our King, and God here in the flesh. And the angels were the ones to explain it. And it's so exciting. So I tell you this, fear not. Fear not, boys and girls, fear not, Faith Covenant Church. I bring you good news that is for all of you, because what happened there on that night in Bethlehem means that we have nothing to fear anywhere, ever. Fear not. Things you can't see, things you can see, things that are happening now and in the future. What Jesus did by coming means that we have nothing to be afraid of ever again. Jesus, our Savior, our Rescuer, our King, God Himself, is born to us. Can I pray with you? Lord Jesus, thank you for being born. Thank you for these kids. Thank you that we can be here thinking about how wonderful it must have been for the angels to celebrate you, to give you glory in the highest, the greatest thing you've ever done for us. Lord, we just give you the honor and the praise, and in this season of busyness and stress and maybe the ups and downs of how this goes, may we just continue to reflect on you and the amazing gift that you are. In your holy name, amen. All right, you guys can go back and be seated.
Our closing hymn for our Christmas program today is going to be number 159, Angels from the Realm of Glory. Please let us stand and sing. Just a couple brief things. We've been given a great hope in Jesus Christ, haven't we? And I just want to encourage you. Christmas Eve is coming up. There might be some folks in your life, some friends, some family, some neighbors who need the hope of Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you. Be praying, be thinking, who can you invite to one of our Christmas Eve services this coming Sunday? Pray that the Lord would direct some people, maybe to find hope here or somewhere else, but to spread that hope of Jesus Christ wherever we can. And also a reminder, if you'd like to be a part of bringing hope to this woman who called our church last week, please see me after the service. And now receive the benediction. May Jesus Christ, may he be the Savior in your life. May he be the king ruling over every area in your life. And may he be your Lord, your master, your God, giving you the hope that you need, the love that you need everywhere you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace. Please greet your brothers and sisters.